I'll be reading from Psalm 14. Only fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt and their actions are evil. Not one of them does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks God. But no, all have turned away. All have become corrupt. No one does good, not a single one. Will those who do evil never learn? They eat up my people like bread and wouldn't even think of praying to the Lord. Terror will grip them, for God is with those who obey him. The wicked frustrate the plans of the oppressed, but the Lord will protect his people. Who will come from Mount Zion to rescue Israel? When the Lord restores his people, Jacob will shout with joy, and Israel will rejoice. This is God's word for today.
Amen. Thank you, Moni. Amen. All right, let's continue in worship. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you, O evil, a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come forth cleansing the Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. Y'all sing it. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the
not kidding.
to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Yeah. fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Now we're not going to end that psalm just yet. We're going to go back and sing that chorus. And no matter what's been going on this week, I just want you to sing right to God. I want you to look right up to him. Just like that song we were singing about, taking our burdens to him in prayer, we're going to do that right now.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
And the things
of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you're here with us. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us this week. Thank you for watching over us and everything that you do, Lord. And sometimes we get caught up in our own lives, but we want to take this moment to send it back to you and just say that we are so grateful for everything that you've done for us and everything that you continue to do for us. Lord, sometimes we are ungrateful, and sometimes we get upset about trivial things, but I pray that we would lay those down at your feet this morning, and we would just acknowledge that you are always good. God, thank you for giving us this building. Thank you for giving us a place to meet and worship you and learn about you and to grow in you. I pray that this morning that we would be open to receive anything you have for us and that you would speak through Forrest. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, Redeemer Bible. Sorry, I got to do that. Good morning, Redeemer Bible. Sorry, that'll become clear later. A couple weeks, I'll tell you what that's all about. Okay, so my dad is going to love me telling you this next story. He's going to love it. Because my dad always wanted me to be a hunter. kind of raised me up to be a hunter. He's an outdoorsman. If you ever meet my dad, he's huge. Big guy, big beard. He's an outdoorsman. So he was hoping I'd be a hunter. Well, this particular story is about a hunting trip that we went on. So he's going to be happy to hear this. Now, for those of you who have sensitive spirits, don't worry. The hunter did not harm any animals at all. So you're safe here. So anyway, so a number of years ago, we were hunting. It was a deer hunting trip that we were doing, and my dad and my mom have 20 acres of woods in Michigan. And so I was in a deer stand. This is up in the tree, and I was up there waiting. And so basically the law in Michigan when you're hunting is you're supposed to leave the woods when you can't see what you're shooting at. I mean, that's basically the law, but it's kind of a variable. You know, and so, you know, how do you know when you can't see something or whatever? So I always tended to stay out as long as I possibly could if I didn't have anything, which happened all the time. So anyway, so I'm up in this stand and I'm waiting for this deer to come in, and it's getting really dark. And it's dark. I mean, it's dark. It's pretty much the time I should be getting out of the tree. But right when I hear that, there's this commotion in the woods. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll shoot. Maybe I won't, but I want to hear, I want to see what's this about. And so this animal, which it sounded like a deer, was walking around, was far enough away from me that I couldn't shoot it. I couldn't see anything because it was pitch black. I shouldn't have been in the woods. But anyways, so he's walking through the woods. And so, but it was weird because this deer was making a lot of noise. And so that's usually one of two things. Either really dumb deer, or it's the dominant buck. And see, I already knew there's a big deal buck in the area. The drivers had seen it, nobody able to shoot it, and so all of a sudden, I'm super excited. So I'm like staying in the blind as long as I possibly can. And I'm looking, trying to peer if there's any possible way that I could see this thing, I'm taking a shot. So it moves around, and I could hear it moving through the woods, and then it stopped, and it started pawing at the ground and grunting. Now, again, that's not typical deer behavior, but if it's the dominant buck, which at this point I'm completely convinced that's what it is. And so if it's the dominant buck, they don't like anybody being in their territory. So he's jumping on the ground and making all this noise because he knew I was there, didn't know what I was probably. So it was going around and kind of doing his thing. Well, it's pitch black now. I mean, I can't even take a shot now. Okay, but to be fair, and don't tell my dad this, but I was afraid to get out of the tree stand. So I'm like, I can't wait till my dad comes. So I'm like, okay, just waiting. I mean, I'm an adult at this time. I have a big rifle in my hand. But this buck is making a lot of noise. So anyway, so I'm up in the tree. My dad finally comes. And I tell him the story. Oh, this deer came, da, 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 all this stuff. And it was all really fun. Here's the thing. I'm up in this tree stand. It's well past dark. Technically, I shouldn't be in the tree stand. I shouldn't be shooting at anything. Okay? But in my mind, I kind of convinced myself that it was okay to shoot something if I could kind of see it. In my mind, I had gotten myself to the place where I believed that it was okay, it was right, that it was the wise thing to do to stay in the blind. And what's interesting is that we can do this all the time. We can do this in any area of our life. We can get to the place where we want to do something. Internally, we want to do something. And so then we convince ourselves that whatever that behavior is actually the wise thing to do when it may not be. We can convince ourselves, we can rationalize the behavior to such a degree that we believe that, okay, this may not technically be the right thing to do, but it's okay. We can do that. And I know you probably don't do that, but many people do. We rationalize the behavior that we want to do because we want to do it. And so we kind of come up with this excuse about why this is the right thing to do. And what we need is we need an objective source in our life that we can compare our behavior to, and not do I want to do this, not do I think this would be fun, not do the circumstances dictate it would be okay in this instance, but is this really truly something that is wise? Is this behavior wise? We need an objective standard. And this morning there should be, you know, kind of telecast where I'm headed here. That objective standard that I'm going to promote to you this morning is what is contained within the cover of this book. And the reality is that we need to, what I'm proposing to you this morning is that we all need to ask ourselves a very really deep, honest question. Are you really trying to be wise? Of course I am, Pastor Forrest. I'm sitting here listening to you. Of course I want to be wise. No. Are you really trying to be wise? In the middle of the week, when you have decisions to make, and Pastor Forrest isn't around, you're not at church, and you have a decision that you need to make, are you cracking open your Bible? And are you asking yourself, what should I do here? I'm doing a little bit of poking here this morning, but it's intentional because I want us to begin to ask the question, are you really trying to be wise? If we understand that the Bible was given to us and it was a tool for us to understand true wisdom, are we actually seeing what it says? It's a question I'm going to pose to you this morning. And as we go along, one of the things that we're going to see as we look in the book of Proverbs, so if you have your Bible with you, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. And what we're going to look at is we're going through a series here in the book of Proverbs, and we're talking about wisdom, the wisdom from Proverbs. And this morning, we're going to be in chapter 2 of Proverbs. And what Proverbs chapter 2 does is it talks about the benefits of wisdom. What likely Solomon does here as the author is he talks through some of the benefits of wisdom. And where we're going to be today is Proverbs chapter 2, verses 12 to 15. And what Solomon does here is he says, if you pursue wisdom, you will avoid these things. If you're really genuinely pursuing wisdom, this is what you're going to avoid. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take that, we're going to talk about it, and say, okay, am I really, truly pursuing wisdom in my life? Am I really doing that, or am I just saying that, or am I calling myself, since I've been a believer for so many years, and I've been around church, and I've been around people who call themselves Christians, I have a pretty good idea of what I should or shouldn't do, and so I'm basically going by what the Bible has to say. Or are you really pursuing wisdom? So what we're going to do is we walk through these verses here in the book of Proverbs. What I'm going to do is I'm going to challenge your thinking, challenge you to think back to not only your perception of what you're doing, but also your practice. And the point of that is not to make you feel guilty. The point of it is not to make you say, shame on you. That's not the point. The point is are we like me up in the tree stand thinking, it's okay that I'm up here in this tree stand and it's pitch black out? Even though no conservation officer would walk into the woods and say, yep, it's okay for you to be up there. Are we doing the same thing by saying, oh yeah, I'm following the scriptures. I'm doing what the Bible says. I'm obeying God, but we're really not. Are you really trying to be wise? Proverbs chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Basically, the concept that Solomon is going to communicate here in verses 12 and 13 is they say, save yourself the trouble. Don't take dark paths. What's his point? He says, save yourself the trouble. Don't take dark paths. Look with me at verse 12. He said, wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. These men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. Verse 12 starts off, wisdom, if you pursue wisdom, if you're searching for wisdom, if you're trying to find out what wisdom is, genuine wisdom, if you have found it, it will save you from evil people. Now, there's two ways to take this here, and the way that it's intended in the context here is that if you obtain wisdom, it's going to save you from evil people, from following their lead, from following after what they're doing. It's not saying that it will save you from the evil decisions that evil people make that affect you. It'd be nice if it was, but that's not what it's saying. It's saying, if you search for wisdom, if you grasp wisdom, if you ingest wisdom, if you take wisdom in, it will save you from evil people. It'll save you from doing the things that evil people do, such as verse 13. These men, these evil men, let me finish up at verse 12, sorry about that. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. And the imagery here is the words that they're saying are not truth. They're saying something, but it's not what the words mean. They're twisting the words around. Verse 13 says this. These men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. These men turn from the right way, illustrating the point that these evil people, they know the right way to go. It's clear to them. They know what the right way is to go, but they're turning and going a different way. They're choosing to walk down dark paths. There's an alley ahead, and it's fully lit. It's the right way to go. They're like, I got a better idea. I'm going to take a dark path. And the imagery here with dark has to do with the fact that these paths are paths that are filled with evil, with sin, with stuff that's wrong, but it's also a path that's hidden. There's unknown, it's dark, it's hidden from the way. And these people are taking paths, they're leaving the right way, and they're taking a path that is not only evil, but they're taking a path that it's unknown to them because they're dark. And so the point of what the psalmist, or what this proverb is trying to say is pursue wisdom. Save yourself the trouble of dark paths. Save yourself the trouble of going down a dark path. Dark paths are like those places where you go and you don't want to move because you're afraid of what you might run into, but you don't want to stay because you're so afraid of being in the dark. And that's kind of what the situation I was in the top of the tree stand. I'm like, yeah, I want to get down out of this tree. I want to go to my dad's house. I want to get out of the woods for whatever this beast is that's trying to eat me. I want to get out of here, but at the same time, I don't want to go in the dark. And that's the imagery here, is that a person who leaves the good way and goes on taking a different direction that's not wisdom, they're leaving the path where they can see and they're going into the dark. It's a place that they don't know what's ahead of them. Do you really want to be wise? Do you really want to be wise? Do you think, be honest with yourself, because it's not a test, nobody's going to see your answer. Do you think about your Bible as a source of wisdom? I know we think that way, but do you really incorporate that concept into your life? When you've had a decision to make in the past, have you consulted what the Bible had to say about it? Have you looked at the wisdom in the Proverbs and see what it has to do with this kind of a decision? In the back of most of our Bibles, there's a subject index, and it'll tell you whatever the issue that you're dealing with, where the Bible talks about that. Did you even know that existed? Are you really trying to be wise? Do you think of your Bible as a source of genuine wisdom from God? Is the point that the person here that wrote the Proverbs, what Solomon is trying to communicate here, is save yourself the trouble of walking down dark paths. Dark paths are unknown, there are unknowns, and it's going to be dangerous. Then he goes on in verse 14, and he says, save yourself the trouble of twisted paths. Save yourself the trouble of going down a path that's all twisted up. I'm going to read verse 12, the first part of verse 12, and then I'll skip down to 14. It says, wisdom will save you from evil people. If you pursue wisdom, it will save you from following the example of evil people. Verse 14, they, the evil people, take pleasure in doing wrong. And they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. And what this proverb here is doing is explaining a little bit about what these evil people are like. The first thing is that these people take pleasure. They find enjoyment. They find fulfillment. They find that fun. They find that fun in doing wrong. Like, doing the right thing, going the right direction, isn't enjoyable to them. They actually like doing what is wrong, which is a little bit kind of counterintuitive. Like, why would you enjoy something that would cause you so much damage? But that's what these people do. They enjoy doing wrong. And the last part of verse 14 says this: and they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. They not only enjoy doing wrong, they enjoy the perversity of doing. They not only enjoy doing what is wrong, doing evil, causing harm to people. It's not only that they do that. They actually enjoy the fact that what they're doing is a perversion. These evil people enjoy the process as well as the product of evil. And so the passage is telling us here, pursue wisdom. And it will keep you away from that enjoyment of things that are wrong, that are going to cause you harm. Pursue wisdom. Embrace wisdom, and it'll keep you away from getting caught up in the pleasure of doing wrong like these evil people have. These paths are twisted. They're twisted up. And the imagery of that is so cool. My parents own 20 acres of woods, and my dad's got these trails that go all throughout the 20 acres in there. It's a small area. It's 20 acres. 20 acres seems like a lot, but when you're in the woods, that's not a lot. And so what he's done is he's got these trails that go like circle all around. They're all twisted up. And the reason behind it is the trails don't go anywhere. They don't go to the next state or the next county. They just go on this 20 acres, so they go in a twisted spot. And so the nice thing, the hard thing about all this twisted up is it's easy. Once you're away from the house, you have no idea where you're at. Like, I get lost all the time. Like, I'm going through, I'm like, I don't know where I'm at on the property. I know the house was back there somewhere, but I don't know where I'm at. Because the trails all wind through them. But the great part about these trails is just keep walking. Because eventually it'll take you back to the house. Eventually you'll go back to where you're going. Which is cool. Which is fun when you're walking in your dad's property. But it's not good in life. These twisted trails lead you all the way around, but take you right back to where you were. The whole point of getting away from wisdom and going to this, you're just doing it to have fun, and you're not accomplishing anything. You're not achieving anything. You're just going right back to where you were. It's pointless. It's a pointless way to live our lives. And God says, pursue wisdom, and it will keep you off those twisted paths. Do you really want to be wise? Do you really want to be wise? If you lost your Bible, if you lost it, got left it in somebody else's house or whatever, and you couldn't find it, how would you feel about that instance? Think about it for a second. It's an evaluative question about yourself. How would you feel if you lost your Bible? Would it be like, honestly, no big loss because I haven't read it in a while anyways? Or would it be like, I can't do anything until I find my Bible? Do you really want to be wise? Last verse we're going to look at is verse 15, and it says, save yourself the trouble. Save yourself the trouble of crooked paths. I'm going to start with verse 12, and then I'll hop down to verse 15. Verse 12 says, wisdom will save you from evil people. Pursuing wisdom, trying to get wisdom, going after wisdom, that process will save you from evil people. Not the evil things that evil people do that might affect you, but it'll save you from following their influence. And in verse 15, their actions are crooked and their ways are wrong. Their actions are crooked. And the idea here is it's a diversion away from what is proper. Their actions are crooked. They know the right thing to do and they're intentionally doing something. They're intentionally doing something that they know is wrong, that is off the path, and their ways are wrong. And the important thing to hear is to remember that this is not just a misstep. They're not just stepping off the trail, say, ooh, I got a little bit off the trail. They know full well what they're doing, and they're doing it anyways. They know it's wrong, and they're doing it anyways. These paths in my dad's property, he actually maintains them. So in the fall, he'll go through with the tractor, and he blows all the leaves off, and he picks up the sticks. You can see the path. You know the path, where the path is. It's all beaten down. It's easy to see. And it would be what these people are doing is they're on this path. It's a clean path. There's no sticks. There's no trees in the way. There's no leaves hiding anything. It's all clear. And they're like, I don't want to be on this path anymore. I'm taking into the woods. They're going into an area where they can't see, going into an area that's not taken care of. They're going into a path that they know is wrong. And the image that is trying to be communicated to us here is this, is that if you're pursuing wisdom, if you're going after wisdom, if you're searching for wisdom, wisdom will keep you from getting off the trail. Not going off the trail slightly, but going off into the woods. So wisdom will cause us to do. So the admonition is to encourage us pursue wisdom, to seek wisdom, to grasp wisdom, to go for wisdom, because by doing so, it'll keep us off of the woods, keep us off the trail and into that. This morning, what I want to do is I want to challenge you. I want you to think about the idea of, are you really pursuing wisdom? And I'm asking you to ask yourself that question because I want you to think through, as you're making decisions throughout the week, are you really, truly trying to do what God wants you to do? Are you really, truly trying to look in the situation and say, what is the wise thing to do here based upon what the Bible has to say? And for many people who have grown up in the church, it's easy to get kind of distant and remote from your Bible. And people that are new to the church, they can also do that too because they don't see a lot of people that they're around that call themselves Christians carrying their Bible around. They don't see them referencing their Bible when they make decisions. They may be, but they don't know it. And so there's this perception that it's okay, that it's proper, it's okay to be a Christian and never look at your Bible. Never read your Bible. It's okay. We all know what it says, so it's okay. That's not okay. So my challenge to you this week is this. Next week, bring your Bible with you to church. Now, some of you do that, I know. That's great. Not a problem. Just keep doing it. Be fine. For others of you, here's the challenge. Bring your Bible to church with you. Oh, Pastor Forrest, not a problem. I got it on my phone. No. Bring your physical Bible with you to church. Pastor Forrest, that doesn't change anything. You're right, it doesn't. You're right. Pick it up just like you bring up a coffee cup. It's okay. But what I want to challenge you to do is I want you to bring it with you. And I want to give you an opportunity to see the experience as something where you are now a person who is carrying around something that's valuable. Funny thing. Unrelated to anything, but it's funny. When I go into the hospital to visit somebody, I usually have my Bible with me. Everybody looks like me like I'm weird. Clearly, I look like a pastor. I'm dressed up in a hospital. Like, why is it weird that I'm carrying a Bible around? But people all look at me like I'm weird. Why would you carry a Bible in here? I don't know what is going on. I think part of it is because people just don't carry their Bibles around anywhere, even if they're a pastor. So this isn't going to solve anything. I'm not saying, but next week, bring your Bible with you to church. Just bring it with you to church and see what happens. See how the experience is for you and see how it feels. Because what I'm trying to get you to do is I just want you to think through this process. I want you to begin to process in your mind, am I really a person who's genuinely trying to be wise? Am I living by the precepts, by the commands, by the teaching, by the wisdom that's in the Bible? Or am I just winging it? Next week, bring your Bible with you to church. And here's why that's so critical. Got down out of the tree stand, told my dad what was going on. You know, this animal, this must have been a huge buck, probably the huge buck. Oh, that's great. He said, yeah, that's not really buck-like behavior. That's not what deer normally do. And he should know because that's his field. I'm like, okay, that's great. All right, whatever. I'm sure it was. A couple years later, all of a sudden, now there's bears walking around people's property. Last night, actually, incidentally, my dad sent me a trail cam picture of two bears. It wasn't on his property, but one next door. I wasn't in the tree stand with a deer running around. That was a bear. I shouldn't have had, it was a black bear, it's not the end of the world. I had a gun, it probably would have been fine. But shouldn't be in a tree stand when there's a bear around. It's just not a good idea, right? But I'm up in the tree stand and I'm thinking, this is fine. This is an okay way to go. I know what the right thing to do in this situation is. I'm going to stay in the stand as long as I can so I can shoot that big buck as soon as he comes into view. But in reality, what I needed to do was get out of the tree stand when I was supposed to get out of the tree stand and go home, and I had never even known that the bear existed. In my case, it was fine. Nothing happened. But how many times are you and I coming up with these ideas in our head about what we think is okay or what we think is the right way to go, and it's probably okay. The circumstances here are different or whatever. And we're coming and we're actually putting ourselves in danger. We got to not be people that are doing that. So let's be people that are really, truly trying to be wise. Let's be people that look at what the scriptures say about how we should do things and do things that way. Next week, bring your Bible. I might even ask if you brought it. Like, I haven't been good about, like, double-checking with you to see if you're doing it. So do it. And we'll do public shame. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do it again. But the idea is I just want to challenge you to, I think the experience will actually be beneficial. I think you'll enjoy it. I really do. If you are here this morning and you have never entered into an intimate relationship with God, if you don't have an intimate relationship with God right now, here's what I'm going to tell you. If you read this book from cover to cover, even if you read portions of it, it would tell you the most important decision that you can make today is you can enter into a personal relationship with God right now. Most important decision you can make today. If you are here this morning and you do not have an intimate relationship with God, come and see me after the service. I'll stay as long as you need to. I'd be happy to talk to you about that. For many of you in the room, we have entered into that intimate relationship with God. And that intimate relationship with God is only because of what Christ did for us. And so what we do is we move into this time of communion, is it gives us an opportunity to be reminded of what Christ did on the cross for us. If on your way in you didn't happen to get a chance to pick up one of these on your way in, just raise your hand and Don is in the back and he'll be happy to get one for you. And Glenn will also too. This is the Lord's table, and the idea behind why we say that is because you are welcome, whether you are a member of this church or an attender of this church or whether you go to a different church, you are welcome to participate in this. If you are a believer, if you have an intimate relationship with God through Christ, you are welcome to participate in this. It's not our table, this is the Lord's table. And this is a time where we remember what Christ did for us. Christ allowed himself to be beaten, Christ allowed himself to be crucified, and Christ allowed himself to die in order to pay the penalty for our sins. And he offers that relationship with God free of charge. All we have to do is accept it. And we don't claim to be anyone worth God saving. We're just thankful that he did. And so when we remember this communion, what we're remembering is, in many ways, remembering the fact that we're not worthy of this, but we're so thankful that he did it for us. So if you take off the top section and reveal the white wafer, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took some bread. And when he had broken it, he said, "This is my body." What he was telling them is that in a few short hours, he would allow himself to be crucified and killed. He said, "I'm giving this for you." And so what we're doing is we're partaking of it, but we're remembering what Christ did for us, even though we didn't deserve it. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people. It's an agreement that's confirmed with my blood." Jesus was referencing the blood that he would shed in a few short hours. And with his blood, the passing of his blood from his body out and his physical death, he achieved for us the ability to have an intimate relationship with the God of the universe. And so he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then he closed with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
All right, everybody. If you would please stand with me. We're going to sing one more time before we leave this morning.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Now all glory to God, who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.